Hello and welcome to The Way podcast. It's Jacob here again, and I'll be leading you through this session. And today we'll be looking at the next miracle that Jesus has done in the Gospels, and it's Jesus opens the eyes of a man born blind. Before we get into that though, a couple of announcements. I think this week is the first week back for a lot of you, and I hope that school has been really good. I hope it's been an easy transition, especially if you've gone from primary to secondary school. And just want you to know that we are continually praying for you. And if there is, again, if there's anything that we can do to help you, anything that we can pray for, please let us know. Thank you to all the young people who were involved in the youth-led service last Sunday. It was an amazing evening, really good input from all of you guys. We had some amazing prayers and really talented young people on the worship team and leading the adults in worship. The announcements were all delivered excellently. The vocals were great. I can't say much for the preacher though, so he might not be invited back. But it really was a good night. So if you missed that, then please, I'd encourage you. It's something that we're going to start doing more. So the first Sunday evening of every month will be a youth-led service. And we'd love to get you involved. We'd love your input. So if you can get along to The Way or let me know, text me. I think my number is in the church directory. So get in touch. And yeah, we'd love to have you involved and be a part of that youth-led service. So thank you again for all of you guys' input, and yeah, we'll hopefully see you very soon. So let's make sure that you're in a place that is comfortable, that you're ready to listen, ready to engage with what's going to be read and discussed this morning, or this afternoon or evening. I'm actually recording this in the evening, so it depends when you actually listen to it. So have a stretch and extend your arms out to your side, upwards. You might want to do some jazz hands, whatever you want to do. Just make sure that you're ready to listen. Okay. And last week, you remember we did a prayer drill, which is where you put your arms out in front of you on one. On two, you fold your arms and cross them. And then on three, you bow your head and we pray. So I'll give you a count into that and then we'll pray together. So one, arms out. Two, arms folded, and three, bow your head, and we will pray. Father God, we do thank you for another day in which we are blessed to have. Thank you for the week that we've just had, and I just thank you that you've kept us all safe. I pray, Lord, that where there has been times that have been really uncomfortable and really difficult, I just pray that that would have been an opportunity for you to speak into those situations, and that you would have drawn near to us in the difficult times as well as in the good times. We just thank you for the Sunday service last week and for all the wonderful young people who were involved in that. And we just hope that that provides more opportunity for us as young people to be involved in leading people in worship of you. So Jesus, we just want to thank you and we praise you. And I just pray that as we look at more of your word this morning, that you just bless us and have us hear what you are saying to us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so have another country for you to guess this morning. And so for 5 points, it is a country in South America. Any ideas? There's quite a few. And for 4 points, 99% of the population speak Spanish. Any ideas? Shout it out. Hopefully it won't scare anyone that's around you. For 3 points, it's the third largest coffee producer in the world. Okay, for 2 points, if you get it now, it is Shakira's birth country. Maybe some of you will have got it by now. Pop culture does it. And lastly, for 1 point, it gets its name from Christopher Columbus. Any ideas? So the country is, of course, Colombia. and a couple of other facts about Colombia. It is, as we said, country in South America. It's a Spanish-speaking nation. It's the third largest coffee producer in the world. I do love a good Colombian roast. It's very good. Shakira is from this country. Christopher Columbus, I don't want to say discovered it, because he didn't, because there are people that were living there long before Christopher Columbus so-called discovered it. But that's where it gets its name from. Its most popular sport is football. And the Andes condor is its national animal, which is a huge, huge bird of prey. And that's its national animal. Much more realistic than the national animal of Scotland, which is, I don't know if you know, but it's a unicorn. So there we go, Colombia. Well done if you guessed it after 5. If you guessed it after 4, well done as well. 3, well done. 2, okay, doing okay. And then if you guessed it after all of the clues, well, give yourself just a little tap on your back, because well done. It's not an easy country anyway. So let's get into God's word. And we are reading from John chapter 9 and verses 1 to 38. John chapter 9 and verses 1 to 38. Quite a big reading today. And it's the story of Jesus, where he heals the man who was born blind. So let's go. And I'm reading from the NIV. As he went along, that's Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. It's quite an amazing story, and it really hits me, especially that last couple of verses there, where the man he's really just journeyed with Jesus, and he goes from different stages of belief in who Jesus is. Firstly, I want to kind of look at the different reactions to Jesus. First of all, there's the reactions of the neighbours. And some of them believe and some of them don't believe. And some people are like, "Oh, who is this? Was this guy actually the same one who was blind at birth and now he's different?" There's the reaction of the Pharisees. And they were divided and they were just wondering, you know, is Jesus from God or is he just a crazy sinner? And then there's the reaction of the parents who they recognize that this is their son, but they're scared and they don't really know what's gone on. And there's lastly the reaction of the blind man. Four different reactions to what Jesus has done. Firstly, it's a good thing to point out that actually we're dealing with a very different culture than the one we live in today. I mean, maybe you're listening to this story and you're thinking, there's some very interesting reactions here to someone who is just disabled and who has been cured from his disease or his syndrome or his illness or disability, whatever. So why is all this going on? Well, the Jews at the time, they believed that if someone was suffering or had a disability or an ailment, that it was a result of sin, that God was judging them through that affliction. And in verse 3, we see that Jesus addresses that straight away, because it's actually the disciples that raise that thought straight away. They come to Jesus and they say, is it because this guy has sinned or is it because his parents have sinned? And Jesus says, no, it's neither. The suffering is there so that God can have the glory, so that something good can come out of this. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I wonder, are there aspects in your life that have, on the surface, have just gone completely wrong? That you're just looking at and you think, oh my goodness, why has this happened? Is this because God is judging me? Maybe it's something that has gone wrong. Maybe you've not got a grade that you particularly wanted, or maybe something in your health has gone wrong and you're like, you know, is God judging me for something? Have I done something wrong? Or maybe even your parents think that, you know, what have they done wrong as parents? And Jesus addresses that straight away. He says it's not about that. It's not directly because of people's sin. He's saying that actually we are all fallen. We are all sinners, Jesus excluded from that, of course. And we're living in a fallen world where there is sin and there is suffering and there is pain. But actually, that is as a result of our human condition. And because of that, Jesus will step in and God will step in to our circumstances and bring glory to himself and heal and bring restoration. And we just have to allow God to do that in our situation. I don't know if you've heard of Rwanda. It's a country in Africa. And several decades ago, there was a genocide. And it was a huge divide in a nation. And a lot of it was racially charged between the Tutsi and the Twa. And there was thousands of people that were massacred. And it was horrendous. And there've been several films that have been made about it. I definitely recommend watching them. They are very, very hard hitting, so definitely not an easy film to watch, but just really amazing to see. I mean, amazing is probably not the right word, but just awful, really, to see how dark the human heart can go. And I remember hearing an interview with someone who was in the United Nations at the time, and he was, I believe he was Belgian, if I remember rightly. And he tried to do some peace talks with some of the leaders, and I can't remember which way around it is, so I don't want to get it wrong, but I think it may have been the Tutsi who were the ones who were basically massacring the Twa tribe. And this guy who's in the United Nations said it was like coming face to face with the devil himself, because there's such a darkness in the hatred and the desire for bloodshed that it was just awful, absolutely awful. And a darkness just completely covered the country of Rwanda. So horrendous things went on. And people have looked back on that and said, you know, where was God in that place of deep and dark suffering where horrendous atrocities went on? Where was God in that? And I mean, different people have had different comments on it, and people have said, well, God wasn't there. You know, it really was a darkness where the light just didn't manage to shine through. But throughout all of that, and the atrocities that have gone on, in the years that have passed since then, there have been amazing stories of forgiveness, of people forgiving the people who had killed their family members. And that there's been huge accounts of healing that has come through that forgiveness. And it's only through Christ. It's only that faith in God and that realization that actually this is just a result of sin and the human condition, that actually in the deepest, darkest parts of our heart, we all have a capacity to do horrendous things to one another. And actually, we need God to step into the situation and to bring healing and forgiveness and to heal a nation. And that's really what Jesus is touching on there, that actually the human condition is one that is flawed. It's one that is just pretty dark, and suffering happens and pain, and a lot of it is we inflict on each other. And yet God still steps in and he brings light. And Jesus says in verse 4, I am the light of the world. I wonder, do we have areas in our life that we ask, why did this happen to me? Or what did I do wrong? And they're totally valid questions, you know, why things happen to us, why bad things happen to maybe not just us, but to people that we love. But I would encourage you not to ask those questions, because why did this happen to me is, well, bad things happen to a lot of people. A lot of people that are innocent. And it's not to take anything away from your individual pain or suffering, but you have to realize that it's not just you. The world is not against you. God is certainly not against you. And actually, suffering is, for, I would say, pretty much everybody, is a part of life. And the second question is, what did I do wrong? Well, again, probably nothing. You know, the things that we have, whether it's a health condition, or whether it's we're bullied or we're abused, whatever it is, it's not actually our fault that we go through suffering. So I would encourage you to rather ask God for strength to get through those situations. And also, just like this blind man was given sight, that we would ask for vision on what is happening. Because even in the darkest times in our circumstances, God is working through it. So next time that you have those questions of why is this happening to me, or what am I doing wrong, just change them around. Make a proactive approach to change them around, and rather say, God, give me strength to get through this, and give me vision to see what is actually happening, what is being worked out in this situation. This man in the story, he's healed of his blindness, And he doesn't have an easy time because straight away, as soon as he is healed and he is given sight, his faith is tested. And how like us is that? That actually when we have faith and we are, you know, we are counted with Jesus, and we say that, yeah, we're Christians, yeah, we go to church, and maybe it's in school and our peers are like, oh, you know, what, why did you do that? You know, why did you go to church, or why are you a Christian? Or, and maybe we get a lot of flack for that. Our faith will be tested. It's an absolute guarantee. And this guy here, I mean, his first thing that he says is that Jesus is a prophet. He doesn't even say that Jesus is God. He says he's a prophet. That's the point at which he's on that journey of discovering who Jesus is. And his faith is tested. And he is going to, I mean, we read on that he loses a lot. And he's put out of the synagogue, the place where he is supposed to have found that kind of spiritual community, has actually kicked him out. And I think it's very important for us to realize that actually being part of a group or a community isn't exactly what it should be unless Jesus is at the center of it. So if we're accepted because we don't accept Jesus, then we're probably not in the right place. Because with Jesus, yes, we may lose some things, but ultimately we gain everything. So in verse 34, it says, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. I mean, what horrendous words. How cutting is that to say to this guy who's just been healed? He can actually see now, "You were steeped in sin at birth, and how dare you lecture us?" And then he's just cast out of his community. In 2 Peter and chapter 3, verse 18, it says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we see here that actually this guy will grow from this experience, that even though he's thrown out, Jesus comes and he hears that he's been thrown out. And Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the guy's like, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus says, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And when I read that, I get absolute shivers, because I'm just like, wow, Jesus, who is the God of the universe, he is creator, he is fully God, fully man, standing before this guy. And this guy has supposedly here, he's lost everything. He's lost his community. His parents are like not really wanting to own up to him. And yet Jesus says, that guy, that creator of the universe, that Son of Man, that Lord, that Savior, he is the one speaking with you. Wow. And then the man's response. Then the man said, "Lord." Notice there that he's gone from saying prophet to saying Lord. And he there has done exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And he's saying that, no, actually Jesus isn't just a prophet now. He is Lord of my life. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. It's an amazing growth in faith. And we don't know a huge amount about what goes on after that, but we know that he does become a follower of Jesus. He becomes a disciple of Jesus. And it's just amazing that even though one community rejected him and pushed him out because of his healing, because of his faith in Christ, Jesus was there to embrace him and to bring him into true community, true family, perfectly. So he gained a whole lot. Last thing I kind of want to say on this is that Jesus is the one speaking with you today. And when you pray, I mean, just know that you can pray to him in any situation, anything that you're going through where you feel like you are, you're maybe being attacked or you're being marginalized or bullied, that Jesus is right there with you and he can speak into that suffering. He can take it away, but sometimes he allows us to go through it so that we come to Jesus and say, look, we want to see. We want to see clearly. We want that vision and we want that healing. Ultimately, we gain everything. So this week, I just hope that you remember that Jesus is the one speaking with you. He's the one listening and he is the one speaking, and he will guide you in every and any situation that you go through, whether it's in school, whether it's in your friendship group, whether it's at home with your family, if you listen to the words of Jesus, if you listen to him and let him guide you by his spirit, he will speak to you. So let that be an encouragement to you, and just know that Jesus is with you always. Let's pray and close up, and then we are done for this session for today. Father God, we thank you that you are the one who cares for us. You are the one that sees everything. You are the one who can give us strength and the vision to get through any circumstance that we find ourselves in. And Lord, thank you that you have brought us into a place of community where we are brought into that place of loving one another, despite the differences of opinion, despite the different backgrounds that we come from. Lord, you bring us together to love one another, to be in community with one another, and to care for one another. So we just thank you for that, Lord. And just I just pray that in each of our situations today and through the rest of this week, that whatever we go through, we can know your voice speaking to us. So, Jesus, we thank you and we just praise you for being our good, good Father. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Way, the podcast. And I'll be back with you next week. Please give me some feedback on if there's anything else you'd like to hear in these recordings, anything you'd like covered, any material that you'd like to look at, or even if you just have an idea for an exercise that might be more engaging. Do let me know, because this is going to be hopefully continually improving. So bless you, have a great week, and hopefully see you soon. God bless.